In Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 13, Jesus said, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be trampled or thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." If Jesus Christ Himself were to come riding up into our parking lot in your car tonight with you and walk in that door as your guest, you would surely take great delight in introducing Him to all of your friends and brothers and sisters. But the fact is, Jesus did not come tonight in your car, nor has He walked bodily through that door. And therefore, it appears that from time to time, you and I may have become a little bit lax in our efforts to share Him with others. Now, someone says that's an unfair thing to say because that's not really true of me. And I suppose it could be viewed as a little bit extreme. But the fact is, we need to be reminded of how important it is to introduce Jesus to all of those around us. There are many ways to accomplish that. We can do so in a very pointed way. But tonight I want us to talk about a little bit more subtle way of pouring on the salt and turning on the light. Based on that text that we just read from Matthew chapter 5, Jesus uses two very powerful illustrations from everyday life for the purpose of illustrating what I call the contagious power of Christianity, or the influencing power of Christianity, or if you please, the power of Christian influence. So much of what we impress upon others comes not from what we say or not from what we directly walk up to them and engage them in conversation, and thereby they draw a conclusion or base a judgment of us on what we have said. So much of what we impress upon others comes from what they observe in us, often when we don't even realize that they're watching us. And so this evening I'd like for us for just a few minutes to, and I hope you paid close attention to those songs, because in some ways the songs that Paul selected for this sermon were as instructive or maybe even a little bit more instructive than some of the things that I'll be saying. What a wonderful tool God has given us with the ability to sing and the ability of some to write these songs and apply the spiritual principles to physical words and songs that we can sing, and the wisdom of God, including that as a part of New Testament worship. How thankful we should be for the songs that we sing and for the teaching and admonishing of one another that we can do with those songs. But for a few minutes tonight, I'd like for us to think about the contagious aspect of Christianity. You know, a contagious illness is a very frightening thing. You could go back through the pages of history and for many of us, we'd have to go back further than our lives go. But there are some of you who remember the days of some very, very dangerous and contagious illnesses that were a very real part of everyday life, even in the United States of America. We need to thank God every day for the progress and the developments in the field of medicine and preventive medicine and so forth that has pretty much removed most of those things from our daily existence. But there was a time when people lived in fear of contacting a specific or a particular illness that was known to be horribly contagious. Someone has suggested that we probably don't do as good a job with hygiene and cleanliness today in some situations because there is not the threat of some of those very highly contagious diseases anymore like we used to deal with. But on the other end of the scale, contagious Christianity is a very precious thing. As we begin this study tonight, I'd like to suggest to you three words that suggest three aspects of our lives that make Christianity contagious. And the first word that I want us to associate with this is the word attractive. Now, that doesn't mean you have to be physically attractive in order to be a good Christian. If that were the case, some of us would really be in trouble. But there is a sense in which our lives need to be attractive from a spiritual standpoint. You know, sometimes I'm afraid we may give the impression that there is nothing that is attractive about Christianity. In fact, if you look at the way that Christianity is portrayed, sometimes in the news media, sometimes in the movies or in TV shows, they portray Christians as some of the most ridiculously radical, distasteful, callous people that ever walked on this earth. And I want to suggest to you that we have a big job to do in order to overcome the disagreeable image that has been given to Christianity. And maybe one of the reasons why, in the minds of some people, the image of Christianity isn't any better than it is because we haven't taken seriously the charge of demonstrating the attractive nature of Christianity. So far as some folks are concerned, Christianity is supposed to be as plain as a mud fence, as coarse as sandpaper, and as disagreeable as a strong dose of castor oil. And I realize there's a big part of our audience that doesn't even know what castor oil is. But some of you older folks could, if you want to know, ask some of the older folks. They'll tell you what I mean when I say as disagreeable as a big dose of castor oil. Christianity is not supposed to be holier than thou. It is not supposed to project an image of I am better than you. But our daily life, our family life, our work life, our school life, every aspect of wherever we are and whatever we do needs to be a demonstration to other people around us that there is a better way to live than living apart from Jesus Christ. Christianity, properly applied and appropriately demonstrated, can be a very attractive way of life. In the second place, I think our demonstration of Christianity must portray the Christian life as very authentic. Perhaps this is one area in which some of the unfair, unjust criticism has been leveled against Christianity more than in some others. But if you and I come to worship services on Sunday, It ought to be readily evident on Tuesday at work. If you and I come to worship services on Sunday, then it ought to be readily evident on Wednesday at school that we've been there. It ought to be just as clear that we are Christians Friday night at the ball game as it was Sunday morning when we were assembled here in this auditorium. Some people worry about what to say to others when it comes time to talk to them about their souls. I want to suggest to you that there is something that comes before what we say. It's what are we going to be? Because if what we are being or what we are isn't in harmony with what we're saying, then what we say isn't going to do any good. Christianity is not to be pretentious. It's not to be fake. It's not to be an act. It is to be authentic. Because you see, Christians have to be good news before they can start sharing the good news. The third quality of our demonstration is that Christianity must be available. Christianity must not be flaunted. It must never be used as a tool to gain favor or even a disadvantage over others or something that we've been really wanting, and so we use Christianity as sort of a bargaining chip or maybe some leverage in order to get something that we want. I have heard my father-in-law talk about going to the barbershop and having to almost fight with the barber to get him to take money for cutting his hair, because he knew that for a time he was a preacher and he felt like that his contribution to the concept of Christianity was to cut all preachers' hair free. There are some people who promote that kind of thing. There are some who in their so-called Christianity are always looking for a way to use their Christianity or their Christian service as some kind of badge to wear in order to get a little bit of favor out of certain people. Or I heard about the preacher one time who would always leave his coat pocket New Testament in his coat when he had it dry cleaned, in hopes that the dry cleaner would give him a discount for being a preacher. Now, you know, that's kind of ridiculous, and it's quite distasteful for me to even think about, but that's the reality in some people's lives. That's not the Christianity that follows my Lord Jesus Christ. Christianity is to be authentic. It is to be real. But it's not to be flaunted or used as a tool to gain some kind of advantage from those around us. It must not be hidden or concealed. And that point seems to be very effectively driven home in the text that we read at the very beginning when Jesus said, "No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but on a lampstand, so that it can give light to all that are within the house." And even in that statement, Jesus was not saying that we are to force our Christianity on those around us. But how woeful it would be if someone were searching, desperately looking for an illustration of Christian living, and they looked at me and couldn't see it. Our Christianity needs to be available. It doesn't need to be something that's only evident after we have provided a resume or a long introduction of ourselves to someone. It ought to be readily apparent and available for the benefit of others. The second portion of our study this evening will only take just a few more minutes, and that's what I've called the drawing power of Christian living. Because that's what we're talking about when we're talking about the contagious nature of Christianity. The fact that if we will live our lives as Christians, as God wants us to, then we will literally be drawing power, or our Christianity will be and provide the ability to draw others to that way of life. There are three things that I have put down here to call our attention to the fact that we have this responsibility. Number one, we are to be costly Christians. We should be those who are willing to live out our faith, even when it demands a sacrifice. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Our lives are to be lives of sacrifice, and we must be willing to be Christians in spite of whatever it will cost. There is no shortage of those today. In view of our present situation in our nation and the new leaders that are about to take office and some of the principles that guide and govern their thought process, and surely will have an effect on the way that they lead. And there are some who are predicting that things may get hard for Christians. And obviously there are those who, along with that, are predicting that we're going to see a fall, a slacking off, so to speak, of Christianity. I don't think that's true. One thing's for sure, I have the ability to control whether or not that's true of me. And I resolve with the Lord's help to make sure that there isn't anything that would cost enough to keep me from being a Christian and being as influential to others as I possibly can. And I would challenge each of us to make that same kind of personal resolve if the coming days in our nation or wherever we may find ourselves bring times that are not conducive to Christianity. Then we must be Christians. We must be Christians above all else. We must be Christians in the face of whatever comes. And we must be as influential as possible to all of those around us, no matter what. We must be willing to be costly Christians. Number two, we must be compassionate Christians. That's the only way that our Christianity can truly be contagious. When one lives totally for himself or herself, wrapped up in himself or herself, with no obvious compassion for others, something is spiritually amiss. Because a Christ-like spirit will always be looking for opportunities to do good, not sitting back and waiting for a situation to come along that demands that we do good, but we'll be out seriously looking for opportunities to do good. This is one of the important aspects of what we talked about this morning in bringing in those who have wandered astray. And the fact that we must care, we must be concerned, if we are to be successful as rescuers of those who have become unfaithful. The third thing that I'd like for us to consider is the fact that we must be consistent Christians. We must be those who demonstrate integrity of faith even when we don't know that we're being watched. We talked about our integrity this morning and how Paul said, "Ye who are spiritual, restore those," or bring those back who've wandered astray. People around us on every hand need to see more than just pasted on smiles and religious bumper stickers, so to speak. There's got to be more substance to our Christian living than just the external things, the labels and the stickers and the badges. Our Christianity has to be consistent through and through. And the people around us need to see us grapple with fear and sadness and anger and jealousy and loss and suffering. They need to see us demonstrating our faith without discounting the everyday realities of life. I believe that surely there are some who, in their application of Christianity in their lives, have taken the approach that when hard times come, when there are difficulties, sorrow, loss, sickness, whatever, something seems to make us want to go into hiding. The true application of Christianity, as I find it illustrated in the New Testament, seems to be that the real depth of our Christianity is measured in how we deal with those things without hiding, without retreating, but showing ourselves to be able to demonstrate that Christianity is the best way to live no matter what life may bring. Consistent Christians. Those who are investigating Christianity are not looking for perfection. I believe that's a myth. That those who are looking around for Christianity and a demonstration of Christianity are only looking for perfection. I don't think that's true. They're not looking for perfection. They're looking for reality. And it's time we gave them a demonstration of how real Christianity can be. What impresses them most is to see someone with the courage to live right no matter what goes on around them. Those with the courage to confess the blunders that they do commit and to make things right. What about each of us? Is our Christianity real? Is our Christianity contagious? Isn't it time to pour on the salt and turn on the light?